Hare Krishna. Today, we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, and we'll be focusing on text number 21. Chapter 17 of Canto 11 is titled as Description of the Varnashrama System. And the focus will be text number 21. Ahimsa satyam ashteyam.
Ahimsa satyam ashteyam.
Akama krodha lobhata.
Akama krodha lobhata.
Bhuta priya hiteha cha.
Bhuta priya hiteha cha.
Dharmoyam sarvavarnika. Ahimsa, non-violence. Satyam, truthfulness. Ashteyam, honesty. Akama krodha lobhata, being free from lust, anger and greed. Bhuta, of all living entities. Priya, the happiness. Hita, and welfare. Iha, desiring. Cha, also. Dharma, duty. Ayam, this. Sarva Varanika, for all members of society. Ahimsa satyam ashteyam akama krodha lobhata bhuta priya hiteha cha dharmo yam sarva varanika. Translation: non-violence, truthfulness, honesty, desire for the happiness and welfare of all others, and freedom from lust, anger and greed constitute duties for all members of society. I repeat. Non-violence, truthfulness, honesty, desire for the happiness and welfare of all others, and freedom from lust, anger and greed, constitute duties for all members of society. Purport. The word sarvavarnika indicates that the above mentioned principles constitute general piety, which should be observed by all members of society, even those outside the varnashrama dharma. We practically find that even in societies that have fallen away from the varnashrama system, the above mentioned principles are honored and encouraged. We practically find that even in societies that have fallen away from varnashrama system, the above mentioned principles are honored and encouraged. Such principles do not constitute, I repeat, such principles do not constitute a specific path of liberation. Such principles like non-violence, truthfulness, honesty, do not constitute a specific path to liberation, but are perennial virtues in human society. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Mahamvande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. So text 21 says, Ahimsa Satyamashteyam Akama Krodha Lobata Bhuta Priya Hitehacha Dharmoyam Sarvavarnika. Non-violence, truthfulness, honesty, desire for the happiness and welfare of others and freedom from lust, anger and greed constitute duties for all members of society. So, the samvad or the conversation between Lord Krishna and his intimate disciple Uddhava is continuing. In this chapter, Lord Krishna is essentially, especially in the first few verses, unto probably the next verse, and after that there is a slightly different theme which happens. So, till almost verse 17, 18, Lord Krishna is explaining essentially to Uddhava that during the Satya Yuga, there was only one social order. Social order means Varna. Varna and Ashrama. So during the Satya Yuga, there was only one social order. And that social order was called as Hamsa. That's all. No Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. It was just called Hamsa. Because during that time, people were swan-like personalities. Not vulture-like personality. So it was called Hamsa. And during that time, Dharma was firmly established on four pillars. What are the four pillars of Dharma? Mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness. M-A-C-T, if you forget. MACT. Mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness. Sometimes we just forget it when we have to tell somebody. We forget the fourth one, just like the, you know, during initiation we forget the last regulative principle, you know, out of tension in front of Guru Maharaj. Like that. Okay. So Dharma stands on these four pillars. Okay. And during the Satya Yuga, Dharma was worshipped by the people who were present in Satya Yuga. There was a personal God and Dharma was worshipped, God was worshipped as the bull of religion. Standing on these four pillars. Come Treta Yuga, the Vedas came into picture. Three Vedas came into picture. That's what is mentioned in the summary of this chapter. And then later on, of course, Vyasadeva came and then he made the three Vedas into four Vedas and so on and so forth. Expanded that. But there were three Vedas which came from the Lord. Plus, there is a sacrificial fire which came from the Lord. Followed by the description of the Varnashrama Dharma. What is called as Varanashrama Dharma came during the Treta Yuga. But today what we find is what to speak of Varanashrama Dharma, whatever, you know, plain vanilla dharma if you like. Forget about Varanashrama Dharma. Even vanilla dharma is non-existent virtually and it's rapidly depleting in Kali Yuga. Like in the 12th canto there is a famous verse which says, Tatascha anudinam dharmam, satyam shaucham shamadaya, kalena balina rajan, nangshati ayubalam smriti. So, tatascha anudinam dharmam, with every passing day, tatascha anudinam, dharmam is going down. Tatascha anudinam dharmam, satyam shaucham shamadaya, satyam is going down. Satyam means truthfulness. Shaucham is cleanliness. Satyam shaucham shamadaya, mercy and tolerance. They are all going down in Kali Yuga. Kalena balina rajan. Kal ke balpe. by the power of time, Kalena Balina Rajan, Nangshati Ayu Balam Smriti. Nangshati means destroyed. Ayu is age. Balam, strength. And Smriti is memory. So, we see that there is a gradual degradation of culture which is happening in Kali Yuga owing to lack of God consciousness. In Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, it was mentioned, Ragukul Riti Sadachaliyai, Pran Jaya Par Vachan Na Jaya. Which means that I can give my life, but I will not change whatever word that I have committed. And today, it is mentioned, Radha Gopinath Prabhu says in SSR CD, that the words of the politicians, and even of the common man now, are so flimsy that by the time, you say it, you already changed it. Like that. So, truthfulness is already going in Kali Yuga. Shaucham is gone. Cleanliness. Right? In the earlier verse, yesterday Anirudh Prabhu, I must have read that verse, I missed the class. But when I read the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that cleanliness is gone. People are using filthy language today. Even to speak with a friend, they are using filthy language. There is nothing, without the four letter word, there is no sentence which is there today. People have forgotten to take baths. People are not taking bath regularly. Even that is a premium today. Right? They have an alcohol bottle in hand and people are lying down in the gutters. Cleanliness has gone. The so-called white-collar population, which doesn't drink and smoke, people are building more focus on putting popular tiles in their bathroom and toilet, which is just a place for passing stool. That is the focus of our three-bedroom hall kitchen or four-bedroom hall kitchen, whatever we buy. Toilet is one of the main focus areas. What fittings to put, how the shower will come from top, whether automatically that, it will pump water, or whether I have to carry lota. In Japan it is like that. The focus is so much on toilet, even toilets are electronic. The temperature of the toilet, water which is coming to wash, that is also, controlled. So, and there is an industry around this whole thing. Okay. So, cleanliness, in the earlier days, in the Vedic culture, cleanliness means that there is no toilet inside the house. In Tamil we call as Kollapakkam. Kollapakkam means, you have to go outside somewhere, few feet away from the toilet, for the toilet, and then come back. Earlier it was the farm and the fields. You have to take a lota and go, which is what Prabhupada recommended as Vedic culture. That is very healthy. But with urbanization, what happened? At least the toilet was outside the house. But right now, if you enter my house, in Fraser Street, you enter and immediately first is toilet. After that, the room is beginning. Like that. So, that is how houses are being constructed. So, Shaucham has gone. Cleanliness has gone away. Right? Satyam Shaucham, Shama Daya. Shama Daya, which is what is non-violence. So, non-violence has also gone away, gradually. Kalena Balina Rajan, Nangshati Ayu Balam Smriti. Age has also gone down. Okay. For example, if somebody is, 100 years old today, it is coming in the newspapers. Like that. Okay. An old man, cutting a cake. 100 year old. He can't even cut. His grandson is cutting that cake. Okay. And that is in the news. Okay. So, but this was not news in Satya Yoga. In Satya Yoga, living 100 years was nothing. People were living for 100 times more than 100 years. Not 100 times, sorry. 1000 times. Correct? 100? 1000? 10,000 times more was the life. 100 years was nothing in Satya Yuga. So, Ayu is going down. Balam is going down. Okay. In the SSR CD again, Radha Gopinath Prabhu tells that Arjuna's bow was, how many feet? 8 feet or 6 feet or 8 feet tall. That was the size of his bow. And then, when you used to hit the arrow, that arrow you can travel for 2 kilometers. Can you believe it? 2 kilometers. Arrow travels for 2 kilometers, pierces the elephant and then comes out from the other side of the elephant. That was the power of the hands. And he used to wear that kavach on himself. Now that kavach is kept in museums. Okay, and it takes 4 strong men to load the kavach in the museum. And people used to wear that kavach and then fight. The sword used to cut the head of the person as well as the horse in one stroke. But now we can't even lift that sword. So Ayu, Balam is going down. Smriti, memory is going down. Sukadeva Goswami narrated the Srimad Bhagavatam 18,000 verses to Maharaj Parikshit. Sutta Goswami was in the same audience. He remembered all the 18,000 verses in the same order and repeated it to the sages of Naimisaranya later on. And today, to remember our own whole number, cell number, we need hard disk, 200 GB, 4 GB RAM, all these things we need to just remember our own details of our own, you know, stuff we are putting. Personal folder we call us. No? We can't remember our own personal thing. What to speak of what? No, 18,000 verses somebody spoke. Okay. So this is the problem in Kali Yuga. Now why this is happening is because there is a gradual degradation of culture which is happening in society owing to lack of God consciousness. Therefore, in the second canto, the very first chapter, which is called as the first step towards God realization, there are two interesting verses which comes up. Maharaj Parikshit is asking Sukadeva Goswami, please tell me what should be the duty of a person who is about to leave his body. And then he is asking questions about Krishna. So, Sukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Parikshit, Varyan esate prashna, krito loka hritam nipa. What is the third line? Atmavit sammitaha pumsam, shrota vyadisu yat paraha. He says, Varyan esate prashna. Your question, dear Maharaj Parikshit, is very appropriate. This is the kind of questions which we should have. Which is, krito loka hitam rupa. In the hit of the lok. Sabke hit mein hai. Questions which are in the interest of mankind. Like for example, this verse says, desire for the happiness and welfare of all others. Right? Who bothers about the desire and welfare of all others in Kali Yuga? Except devotees. Nobody is bothered. Right? So, because Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question, Sukadeva Goswami is telling him, your question is very appropriate. Okay. And such questioning is approved by all transcendentalists. Atmavit sammitaha pumsam. It has got the sammat or sammati of all atmavit persons, transcendental personalities. Shrota vyadishu yaha paraha. Out of all the things which one person hears, shrota vyadishu, this is paraha. This kind of questioning about Krishna and the purpose of life and what to do if somebody is going to die is the most valuable question, and this is in the interest of human population. Such questions must be asked. And he also says in the next verse, Shrota Vyadini Rajendra Nranam Shanti Sahasraha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Griha Medinam. He says that such questions nowadays people don't ask. If we go to the shops, we only find magazines of titled, she is having a baby. This is the title, you know, in the coals if you go. Okay. So who is having whose baby? Who is having affair with which fellow? You know, this is what is the shrota. We like to hear. We get a cheap taste from hearing all these things. Right? So this is the kind of subject matter which today people want to hear. So there is a gradual degradation of culture. Solution is, janma karma che me devyam, evam yo veti tatvatah. Yaktva deham punarjanma naiti mahameteshu arjuna. Which means that only if we hear transcendental topics of the appearance and pastimes of the Lord, then we can untie this knot which we have firmly tied to the material world. That is the only way. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is congratulating Maharaj Parikshit. Your questions are very apt. Now, why don't people ask any such questions nowadays? That is because Krishna consciousness has to be preceded by Varnashrama dharma. That is number one. People only who are, you know, interested in some kind of dharma will ask such questions. So it is mentioned that Krishna consciousness has to be preceded by Varnashrama dharma. And Varnashrama dharma has to be preceded by dharma or human culture. So there are three stages. One is at least come to the human platform, human culture. Then come to Varna Ashrama dharma. And after that come to Krishna consciousness. Three stages are there. Like that. So this culture is gradually depleting. Talking about non-violence, Srila Prabhupada many times says that this, the genesis of this whole degradation is happening because of Gau Aparadh or offenses against cow. Whole Brahminical culture, Varnashrama, Dharma, Dharma itself has collapsed because of something which was done against a cow. That's the foundation of all problems in society today. For example, when Akrura went to Vrindavan, he saw Krishna and Balaram. Now, who was there with Krishna and Balaram at that time? When Akrura went to Vrindavan, who was there? What did he see? Krishna and Balaram along with Yeah, millions and millions of cows. That's what he saw, right? So, His Holiness Jaya Advaita Swami made a statement. He says that we say, Laksha Vriteshu Surabhir Abhipalayantam. Right? In Brahma Samhita, we say that prayer. So he says that this verse today, Laksha Vriteshu Surabhir Abhipalayantam. Sura means cows. Today it has been replaced with Laksha Vriteshu Dogabhir Abhipalayantam. Cows, the affection for cows is now diverted to dogs. So today people are no longer surrounded by cows. Friday I was coming back from office. I saw at least 3 or 4 people surrounded by 3, 3, 4, 4 dogs. Almost like Krishna coming on the chariot with 4 horses, people are coming with 4 dogs. Like that. Okay. This is the status of Kali Yuga. So our activities are no longer connected to cows. But Vedic culture means 2 things. The flute and the plow. Plow. Plow is this. It's carrying in. This and no. What is used for agriculture. So flute epitomizes Krishna. And plow is the instrument of Balram. Right? So flute also is synonymous with cows. And plow is synonymous with the field or the bulls. So the cow and the bull both must be protected. And if they are not protected, then degradation starts from that point in Kali Yuga. And Lord Krishna and Balram very nicely demonstrated this dharma first, cow protection, then Varnashrama dharma after that. So there was a dignity even when Lord killed, annihilated his opponents. There was some dignity. There was some Varnashrama dharma in that. Not some actually. There was complete Varnashrama dharma in that. Okay. For example, when the Lord, for example, in the Vedas, it is mentioned that the duty of a Vaishya is Krishi, Goraksha and Vanijyam. Krishi, Goraksha and Vanijyam. These are the 3 duties of a Vaishya. Krishi means agriculture. Goraksha means cow protection. And Vanijyam means trade. So these are the 3 things which a Vaishya must focus on. So Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, even when he used to kill demons, he never used any weapons. Because he was a Vaishya. In Vrindavan, he was a Vaishya. He was a cow herder. He was taking care of the cows. So all the demons, he used to kill with his bare hands. Sometimes he never used to use his hands. Demons used to come and get killed. For example, Putana. Krishna just sucked her breast and then she died. So there was no weapons which was used. But then, when Lord Krishna moved later on to the Kshatriya Varna, at that time in Hastinapur, he did not hesitate to use his weapons, starting with the parliament house. The weapon was first used in the parliament house. That is an indication for us that if we have to use weapons, where we should hit first. So in the parliament house, he beheaded, what was his name? I forgot. Shishupal. He beheaded Shishupal. So on one hand, in Vaishya Dharma, no weapons. Kshatriya Dharma, weapons. And the Lord also annihilated his demons with Brahminical culture. What is the example of that? Bali Maharaj. When Lord came as Vamanadev, he did not use his hands, he did not use his Sudarshan Chakra. He just uses his words. The words of a Brahmana can also defeat the most powerful enemy. Like that. Of course, Bali Maharaj was not an enemy in that sense. It was a pastime going on, but still. Okay. So Lord Krishna came as Vamana and simply by his intellect and by quoting Shastras, he defeated his opponents. So we see that Lord Krishna and Balaram by their own pastimes laid a very heavy emphasis on Vedic culture even in activities that seemingly espoused violence. There was some culture and dignity about the whole thing. What to speak of activities which are pertaining to welfare? Even if violence is so dignified, so how good the pastimes of the Lord are when they talk about welfare or lokahitam. Now talking about welfare or social progress, 4 things are mentioned in the Shastras which are components of welfare. Go, first is go. Go comes from the word gau or cow. Go, Grama, Ganga and Gayatri. Go is cow. Gram is village. Ganga is the river Ganga, the holy places, and Gayatri is the mantra. It stands for the power of chanting the holy names. So out of this, go and gram, the cow and the village symbolize economic power. And Ganga and Gayatri symbolize or epitomize spiritual power. So for a society to flourish, there has to be economic power as well as spiritual power. Both are needed. So, though we understand that Vedic culture must be aimed at spiritual progress, because we have heard many, many times that Varnashrama Dharma means gradual elevation to Krishna consciousness, spiritual progress, it is emphasized here that without stability in social life, without proper stability in social life, spiritual progress is very difficult for the normal conditioned soul. For example, many of us must have realized that during the recession, when some of us lost our jobs, etc., it was very difficult to pursue spiritual life. When you sit and chant Hare Krishna, your mind is constantly dwelling, oh, when will I get my job back? When will I start earning? You know, this. So without social stability, it sometimes becomes very difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. So that is also needed. We cannot say that is not needed for a conditioned soul. For Avadhuta Brahmana, no problem. He was trapped, sitting under the tree and he was opening his mouth. And when somebody asked him, he said that no, whatever Krishna has to give me will fall in my mouth. That is different. That is Avadhuta Brahmana platform. Because we are not Avadhuta Brahmana, we need some kind of a social stability to pursue our Krishna consciousness. And the social stability has got to do a lot with, the need for social stability has got a lot to do with culture, which is prevalent in society. So, very rare souls like Kunti Maharani, for example, can do such kind of prayers that even without stability, my dear Lord, it is okay. Vipada Shanto Tahashatva Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. What is that verse? What is the next line? Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. She says, let those calamities come again and again. Let the miseries come again and again, because in misery I remember you, my dear Lord. Now, when the Kurukshetra battle is over, now when Yudhishthira has been crowned as a kingdom, now all opulence is starting to come to me, and now I see a danger to my Krishna consciousness because I am getting into a comfort zone. Okay. So very rarely people can pray like this. But even if you see the charitra of Kunti Maharani, she was Rajmata. Rajmata means she was the queen, like that. So as Rajmata, before the Kurukshetra war, even Kunti Maharani actually was instructing Maharaj Yudhishthira that no, you should fight like this. No, this is how you must defeat your opponent. She was also in the same mode. Because she also realized that social stability is needed for a Kshatriya. It is mentioned in the Shastras that the reason the Pandavas wanted the kingdom of Hastinapur was because they were Kshatriyas. And a Kshatriya needs some Kshetra, some field of activity. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord talks about Kshetra and Kshetrajna, field of activities. So a Kshatriya needs some Kshetra, field of activities to be able to perform his duties. And therefore, because that if the Kshetra was not available, then there cannot be any activities for a Kshatriya. How can their Varnashrama Dharma then exist? So from that point of view, Kunti Maharani was instructing Yudhishthira that yes, there is some social order which is required to bring in spirituality. So we cannot minimize the importance of social order in society. So the essential point is that we are trying to say is, amidst too many difficulties, amid social turbulence, Krishna consciousness is very difficult to practice. So in order to minimize our troubles, Krishna consciousness has to be supported by a lifestyle. There is a lifestyle which is needed to practice Krishna consciousness healthily. For example, it is mentioned in the Shastras that water is very precious. Water sustains life. Just like Harinam or chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra sustains our spiritual life, water sustains our life. Right? So, but this water, however precious this water is, it still has to be carried in some kind of a container. It cannot be just carried in hand. You cannot quench the thirst of someone just by pouring water and then putting in somebody's mouth. No. It needs a container. So, it is said that the lifestyle, what we are talking about, is that container. And the philosophy is what is contained inside that container. So the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, if it has to be sustained, it needs the container of culture. It needs the container of a lifestyle. So we cannot say that chanting Hare Krishna is ultimately what matters in society and lifestyle does not matter. We cannot say that way. If the container is improper, it is said that the contained cannot be situated properly. Now, what is this lifestyle we are talking about? Are we talking about a very nice, cozy home in Turak? No. That is not what is this lifestyle. When we talk about lifestyle, we are talking about a simple lifestyle which is adequate to keep the body and soul together. That is required. For example, if we need a job to keep our body and soul together, fine. That is accepted. Yes, a job is required for a lifestyle. Okay. But we are talking, when we are talking about second home, third home, fourth home, fifth home, what is that reverse gearing, that gearing, this gearing, then we are trying to complicate our lives now. We are trying to acquire more than what we need in life. Right? And that kills devotional life. Yesterday we were studying in our Bhakti Vriksha, Atyahara Prayasascha Prajalpo Niyamagraha. So Rupa Goswami said Atyahara, accumulating more than what we need. That's a classic component to kill our devotional life. So this lifestyle which you are talking about, that container is a simple lifestyle on which Krishna consciousness very nicely fits into. So in two verses beyond this, which probably somebody else would lecture on day after tomorrow, it talks about the Brahmachari ashram, where it is mentioned that Brahmachari should not use paste and soap and so on and so forth. So we find all these cultural aspects of Krishna consciousness very difficult. It's impossible. How can I not use, you know, paste? At least I should use that Dabur Dantamanjan, Vedic powder like that, if not Colgate toothpaste like that. Okay. So it's very initially in Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult to deal with this Vedic culture, with this Vedic lifestyle. Okay. If we talk about, cow dung and cow urine should be used. Okay. But I'm sure that if I bring a cow to my building, then people will just complain to the body corporate, saying that it is stinking. No, the cows are making noise, moo, in the morning. No, it's disturbing our footy. Okay. It's a great disturbance. Footy and kirtan. Cow and kirtan are great disturbance for footy. So, but if I bring four nice dogs, and the four nice dogs, they are passing stool throughout the building, and I'm going on behind with a tissue paper, picking them up, people will say, hey, how's it going? Good morning. Thank you for adopting lifestyle. This is the problem. Okay. So prestige will come. But the moment we get a cow, people will complain to body corporate. This is the degradation of culture in society. Everything is right now opposite. From go, we have come to dog. Okay. So Surabhir has changed now to Dogabhir Abhipalayantam. That is the problem. Okay. So this Krishna consciousness lifestyle also reminds us of Krishna constantly. In Vedic culture, the house was built of straw, mud, and so on and so forth. Recently, for example, there is this place called Gokuldam, which is built in a place in Maharashtra called as Belgaum. Now, I was hearing in a lecture that in this Gokuldam, people have built houses made of the soil from the same village, and they have actually made their own bricks. The whole house is made of jaggery. The walls are made of jaggery. And then, in order to keep the house together, they use the glue which is normally used to hold the laddu together. That is what was used. And the house has actually been built like that. So when you enter such a house, it was said that you can actually lick the walls. It will be very tasty. But the modern day houses which are built in society, they smell of the money making plans of the contractor. Okay. That is what our modern day houses are. Okay. When we look at the house, we are constantly reminded of high mortgage. And how the contractor cheated us. How he overquoted for that house. So, whereas when we build a house in a Vedic lifestyle and adopt a simple lifestyle of living along with Krishna's nature and doing everything for Krishna, then that creates a constant purity in our hearts. And that is the cultural theme behind the Varanashrama Dharma. Now, this Varanashrama Dharma was prevalent very nicely in India many years back. In fact, as early as 250 years back also, there was very nice Varanashrama Dharma. And then the Britishers came to rule over India. So it is said that even when the British came, the first thing they saw in Bengal was that the ratio of the number of cows to the number of men. It is said that the ratio was 10:1. 10 cows for one family. That was the ratio of cows to men. And it is said that a laborer at that time used to get a salary of rupees 30. 30 rupees is 75 cents. That was the salary of a laborer per month. That is very less, right? Rupees 30 is very less. How much is 75 cents? If you were given 75 cents per month as salary, will you work? Nobody will work. Okay. So, that was the salary, rupees 30 of the laborer. Now, hear this. Out of this rupees 30, 9 rupees was the monthly expense of the laborer. 21 rupees was the savings per month of the laborer. And a cow costed 2 rupees. Okay. So, money was less at that time, but the buying power of that money was very high. Today, that is the problem. Money is more, but buying power is less. So, even today, established farmers find it very difficult to be able to afford a cow. Because the farmer is now bidding along with the industry. Industry also wants cow for slaughter. Farmer wants cow for agriculture. Industry is paying more. We cannot compete with McDonald's in a quotation, right? Because they order in bulk. Farmer will order what? How many? One or two cows? So he will not get discount, bulk discount, like that. Okay, so this is the problem in society. So, it is also mentioned in Vedic culture that gold and diamonds used to be sold on the roads. It will be so nice if gold and diamonds were sold on the roads. Now you have to go to that. What is that tag here? What is that called as? H-E-U-R. When you go to that city side, you find that watches, Rolex watch and diamond and whatever, whatever. Okay. So then, Vedic culture, gold and diamonds were sold in roads. And it is said that mangoes and fruits were not sold. If you ask somebody, how much mangoes? He said, what do you mean, how much mangoes? Mangoes are mangoes. They are there in the trees. Pick up and eat. So the concept of selling fruits was not there in Vedic culture at all. But today, we have to go to Coles and pay through our nose for that mangoes. Many times when we go, we say, no, we'll buy from South Melbourne market on Sunday evenings. So that the fruits are cheaper. That is the problem, buying mangoes today. Even education did not smell of the money-making plan of the trustees of the school. So, Srila Prabhupada always used to quote the example of this teacher in Krishnanagar. Srila Prabhupada said, there was a teacher in Krishnanagar who was teaching his students and the fee was simply rice, some salt, some tamarind. Rice, tamarind and salt. That was the fee with the teacher charge. And top class education was given to the student in this Gurukul. And once the king of Krishnanagar came personally to this teacher and then asked him, you know, I want to give you so many things. Gold and this and that I'll give you. He said, no, I don't need all that. I have rice, which I eat, which sustains my intelligence. I have milk and there is tamarind available. My disciples, my students are giving me all this. What more do I need? That's all. And with this intelligence, I am able to give knowledge, which is also very intelligent. Like that. So, all this was just 250 years ago. And then came, in 1760, there was a personality named Robert Clive. Okay. I think he came as a governor general or something like that, okay, in history. Robert Clive, his greatest contribution to India was that he established the first slaughterhouse in India. And in one year, 1 crore cows were slaughtered. That was his first project. In India, cow slaughter, it's not that cow slaughter was not prevalent before, but cow slaughter was not conducted in such an organized fashion. Here, there was a technology was put to use and cows were slaughtered. 1 crore in 1 year. On top of that, Robert Clive also supplemented cow slaughter with modern day British education, right, which completely destroyed Vedic culture. First, his strategy was, he went to the less intelligent class of society and to them, he offered them English products. In India, still there is a craving for made in Europe, made in UK. They sell higher price than made in India products, right? Even toothpaste, initially we used to go for made in England. So, there is a craze for this Western products in India. So, Robert Clive was the person who started all these things. So, Robert Clive, he systematically brought in this British goods and he captured the people who were less intelligent. For the more intelligent people in society, he had a different strategy. He said, Oh, you people are so intelligent, so prosperous. Why are you worshipping swans, monkeys, right? Rats. What is the fourth animal? Eagle. Because Indians were worshipping Hanuman, monkey. Eagle means Garuda. Rat means Nandi. And swan is the Brahma's carrier, right? So, this is the way in which systematically they made a propaganda. And because of this propaganda, the average Indian person felt ashamed of this Vedic culture and took great pride in welcoming the British culture. So, this propaganda is very powerful. Srila Prabhupada always used to quote the story of Bhagavan Shastri or Bhagavan Ghost. Bhagavan Shastri was a great pandit in the assembly of a king and he was very trusted by the king. So the ministers were very envious of this Bhagavan Shastri. So one day they hatched a plot. How to now remove this Bhagavan Shastri, you know, out of the king's favor? So they started spreading a rumor in the whole community saying that Bhagavan Shastri is dead. They finished him. He was not dead, but they said that Bhagavan Shastri is dead. And they started amassing a lot of propaganda. They said first to 10 people, then 10 became 1,000, 10,000, 1 lakh people, 10 lakh people. Everybody say, Bhagavan Shastri is dead. Okay, so everybody started saying this language. And then the king came to know about it. One day he asked, where is Bhagavan Shastri? He said, Bhagavan Shastri is dead. So he said, oh, he is dead. Yeah, Bhagavan Shastri is dead. And then king asked 4 other people. Everyone said, Bhagavan Shastri is dead. So one day Bhagavan Shastri came to the court of the king. So king said, "Hare, you are dead. How are you here?" So before even Bhagavan Shastri could open his mouth, the minister, that's what we are saying. Bhagavan Shastri is dead. This is ghost of Bhagavan Shastri in the court. So king said, is this ghost? So Bhagavan Shastri said, no. I am not ghost. I will prove it to you. And then he climbed the wall. The duty of a Brahmana is not to climb a wall actually. Very few Brahmanas do that. Okay? Bhagavan Shastri actually climbed the wall. And then the minister said, see, the ghost of Bhagavan Shastri is climbing the wall now. The king was completely convinced. Oh, yeah, ghost. Throw this ghost away. So, Srila Prabhupada used to quote this example saying that if a lie, in Hindi we say, chilla chilla kar ek jhoot sach ho jata hai. If a lie is told loudly and many people shout and keep on telling this propaganda, then that which is asatya becomes the satya. And that is the strategy which Robert Clive adopted to finish the Vedic culture in India. Again, the blame is not on Robert Clive alone. Obviously, Indians are also responsible for it. In fact, Indians are more responsible for it. If we can't value something which we have, how do we think that somebody else is going to value that? So the fault first, blame lies first with India, then with the persons who came to India. So today, we are talking about freedom, Indian independence and whatever, but the country is not independent. The dependence on Western culture is increasing day by day. Even when you talk about the economy, the Indian economy today is highly dependent on the Western economy. Moment a whiff comes from Wall Street, the Indian stock markets collapse. And when the Indian stock markets collapse, whatever you and I have saved, retirement funds, they also come to zero. Just like the superannuation here, we were talking about yesterday in our Bhakti Vriksha program, that even our superannuation is hard-earned money. And every month from our salary it goes. But we have no control over the superannuation. Many people recently, during the recession, lost their superannuation. Retired people, right? Some of them committed suicide because of the recession. Some joker does some problem, creates some problem in Lehman Brothers in US, and somebody who is hard-earned money in Australia or in India, becomes nil. So this is the instability because of collapse of Vedic culture. And Shastra has got lot of praman. In the Shastra there is lot of praman that how cow slaughter is the genesis. Cow slaughter is the genesis of all such problems. In fact, it is mentioned in the Shastras that there were 8 vasus, and out of those 8 vasus, what they did was, these vasus went to Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni had a cow called as Kamadhenu. When they went to Vasishtha Muni, what happened? These vasus went to the cow directly and started drinking milk from the udder. That is sheer arrogance. Right? They did not even take permission from Vasishtha Muni. So Vasishtha Muni was very unhappy. And Vasishtha Muni obviously chastised them, saying that please do not do this. Respect the cow. So, this was the Vasishtha Muni's instructions were becoming a problem. Now, one of the wives of these 8 vasus, she said, why are you taking so much trouble of going to Vasishtha Muni's ashram, drinking, stealing milk from the udder of the cow and drinking? Instead, steal the cow itself. Keep the cow with you. And then do whatever you want with the cow. So, they wanted to steal the cow. Okay. Now, because of this, all these eight vasus were cursed to be born into the world of men, the material world. And out of those eight vasus, seven of them were immediately on birth, were given the benediction that they will be liberated. So, they were born as the sons of Ganga and they got liberated. But the eighth vasu was none other than Bhishma. So, Bhishma had to come here and then because of that problem which was created, Gau Aparad, he had to suffer so much in the material world. He was actually on the opposite side, on the Kaurava side. He had to be on that side of the battlefield. Right? So, Bhishma suffered untold miseries, including at his death, he was on a bed of arrows. Of course, Lord Narayana was there in front of him, 400 form was there, and he went back during Uttarayan, like that. But still, this was the suffering. And then, the wife who said that, why don't you steal this cow, that was only a suggestion of stealing a cow, she had to take birth as Amba. Okay. And this Amba then had a very miserable life. She did not get any suitor for marriage. All of you know in the Mahabharata that Amba tried to marry someone, then she married, she tried to marry Bhishma. Bhishma said, no, you have visited her, so I don't know about your chastity and whatever. And then Bhishma said that I have taken, a vow that I will never marry in this life. So Amba suffered untold miseries. In the next lifetime after her death, she had to come as Shikhandi, and as Shikhandi again got killed with the arrows of, in a ghastly way, by Ashwatthama. And all this just for stealing a cow. So you can imagine where Robert Clive is now. Then Vishwamitra Muni, second Shastra Praman. Vishwamitra Muni also, before he became a Muni, tried to usurp the Kamadhenu or the Surabhi cow. Okay. And because of that, Vishwamitra Muni also suffered untold miseries. The principle which Vishwamitra Muni gave was, when he saw Kamadhenu giving everything, what wish fulfilling. Kamadhenu was full wish fulfilling. So he said, why can't I take this Kamadhenu? So he went to Vasishtha Muni. He said, no, you can't take this. I'm a Brahmana and I'm using this for spreading Krishna consciousness. I'm using it in the service of the Lord. He said, no. Varanashrama Dharma says that whatever belongs to the subjects, the most important thing, it belongs to the king. So it is mine. So this is the philosophy he gave. And then he had to suffer for that. Now the same philosophy in the story of Jamadagni, when we hear, was given by Kartivirya Arjuna, okay, to Jamadagni. And then Kartivirya Arjuna also gave the same principle, saying that I will steal your cow, to Jamadagni, and then saying that I am the king, therefore it belongs to me. So Kartivirya Arjuna was destroyed by Parashuram. His entire army was destroyed by Parashuram. Eventually he went and beheaded Jamadagni himself. And then Parashuram was so angry that he destroyed the entire dynasty of Kartivirya Arjuna. So this was the kind of suffering, okay, for the desire to steal a cow. So Srila Prabhupada often emphasized that the cow in Vedic culture was treated as a valuable living entity, not a commodity. And that is the genesis of degradation in Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada said that every cow is an expansion of Kamadhenu or Surabhi. Because the cow provides everything. But through propaganda, today people are spending thousands of dollars on dog care and not worried about cow care. If you go to Kohl's also, there is a separate section for dogs. Right? But there is no section for cows. And dog poo is considered as holy. And cow urine is considered as contaminating. So this is the power of propaganda. In the spiritual world, Golok, what do we find? In spiritual world, what is the culture? In spiritual world, we always hear in Golok Vrindavan that people are either making garlands or they are herding cows. And all of us want to go back to Golok Vrindavan, right? Even Mathura is not acceptable for us. Right? So everyone wants to go to the center, Golok Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna and Radharani are playing. But the culture, the skill sets which are required to go to Golok Vrindavan is what? Something has to do with garlands and cows only. But what skill sets do we have? Visual C++, PowerPoint. No? These things are not required. These skill sets are not required in Golok Vrindavan. What will we do with the PowerPoint slides in Golok Vrindavan? Who is there to see our PowerPoint slide, first of all? There is no customer for that. Correct. So, once, one of the spiritual masters in ISKCON, he was mentioning to a brahmachari that you must dedicate your life, if you are serious about Krishna consciousness, you must dedicate your life for cow protection. And actually that person was working, in software industry. He left the software industry and went and took a career on cow protection. So, Vedic culture encourages self-sufficiency through cow protection in terms of milk, grain and fruits. But our problem is, because of this degradation of Vedic culture, our devotional service begins very late, in the sense that in the Vedic culture, devotional life towards Krishna began by sowing a seed, an apple tree for example, or a mango tree. The moment you sow a seed thinking of Krishna, devotional life begins there. But today, our devotional life begins only when we take that mango and put it in the altar and then offer to the Lord. Before that, everything is commercial transaction with coals, transporter, parking ticket, you know, parking for coals you pay $1.50. So everything is commercial, and the mango has to come to the house, and only at a very late stage in the life cycle, devotional life begins. But in Vedic culture, even the thought of sowing a seed of the mango tree, Vedic culture began there. So owing to this international propaganda, what's happening is, in the Indian community also, where Vedic culture was prevalent, there is a deep impact, adverse impact, which has happened. For example, in Switzerland, nowadays, they are doing a $10 billion project. $10 billion project in Switzerland. Essentially, they are building a 17-mile tunnel. And inside that 17-mile tunnel, there is a machine which costs, the whole project costs $17 billion. And what is the use of this machine? This machine is just used to prove that the Big Bang theory of creation is correct. $17 billion. Just to prove something. And the worst thing is, this machine did not work. This is the arrogance of the modern day scientists and industrialists. With $17 billion, you can provide unlimited water. You can provide unlimited facility for agriculture to all the farmers. You can reduce the cost of that mango, which we pay through our nose to be able to afford. We can grow food. There will be poverty will be virtually wiped out from this world if we don't do such projects and channelize the money properly. So when such propaganda is there, it's difficult for a culture of Krishna consciousness or Varnashrama Dharma to flourish. India also spent 200 crore rupees in this nonsense project. And further, what is happening is that instead of capitalizing on the already Vedic culture which is prevalent in India, now we are competing with the United States to send a rocket to the moon. So India also had Chandrayaan mission recently, which also failed. Right? Nothing came out of the Chandrayaan mission. Not even that soil, which supposedly, you know, the Americans had brought from there. Prabhupada said they spent millions of dollars and brought some rocks and mud to be kept in a museum. Even that we failed to bring. So Srila Prabhupada said, this culture therefore has to start at the very top level, Vedic culture establishment. Srila Prabhupada told Indira Gandhi, who was the then Prime Minister of India, that he wrote a letter to her saying that if you really want to establish Vedic culture in India, it has to start with the topmost level. All the politicians, all the high authorities in government must follow four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds. They must perform Mangala Arati. And that too, they said they must perform also one Arati in the afternoon. During work hours, during the lunch break, they must all perform aarti, right? There must Srimad Bhagavata Katha must be going on, and then work also must go on along with that. Obviously, Indira Gandhi was not bothered about that. So, unless there is a culture of spirituality, there cannot be prosperity. So, this lifestyle is required to support Krishna consciousness, because the world is standing on a very shaky foundation. Recently, in Bombay, there was a diktat which said, in Bombay there are a lot of skyscrapers being built, and skyscrapers are wonderful, centrally air conditioned, there will be lawns, there will be bus facility, there will be ICSE board school, everything will be there provided, there will be a vegetable shop within the campus, right? There will be a free bus to the railway station, everything is there except water. Right? So it is said, the municipal corporation has said, now we are not going to supply water to all these skyscrapers till 2012. Any new building skyscrapers which are coming will not get water supply till 2012. So you cannot get possession. There is no point. No. How much tissue paper will be used at the end of the day without water? You need water to at least flush down the tissue paper. No. So this is the problem. Okay. So the world is on a very shaky foundation. We are building big skyscrapers and losing our foundation of Vedic, of Krishna consciousness. In fact, every item, it is said, in the material world has got an organic growth even in destruction. It is mentioned that a banyan leaf, in India we use banyan leaf, in South India especially, to eat. We don't use the plastic plates, right? So in banyan leaf you eat, and after that you throw the banyan leaf, either it is eaten by the cows, and then through cow dung it is again becomes manure. So that is the process. So it is said that every item in this material world has got a natural ability to, every item which is naturally provided by the Lord is naturally recyclable. But because we have started plastic culture, what is happening? Now we have that recycle bin and non-recycle bin. We have just complicated life. And we are paying more money to the government for the truck which comes, you know, and throws recycling in one, non-recycling in another truck. You know, all this nonsense is going on. Okay. So, because of this lack of Vedic culture, we find that our own lives are becoming more and more complicated. So the Acharyas and the king of the past have given us a rich legacy of Varnashrama Dharma, which is rapidly eroding. And the onus is on us today to be able to preserve this culture and pass it on to future generations. So Srila Prabhupada, therefore, was very instrumental in emphasizing the importance of farm-based communities. And in teaching Krishna consciousness as much as possible to mankind. In fact, 400 years ago, nobody was compiling any literature in English language, because English language was considered as the language of malechhas, fourth class, fifth class men, like that. So, but Srila Prabhupada realized that going forward, Kali Yuga is anyway going to degrade. The influence of Sanskrit is anyway going to go down. So in order to preserve that legacy and the culture, Srila Prabhupada took the pains of translating so many books in English language. This is his gift to mankind. So to sum up, just one more point before we wind up. Talking about gifts, it is said that in Vedic culture, the gift which the legacy, the parampara used to pass on was based on one particular value. And that value was that when you give gift to somebody, the value of that gift should increase with time, not decrease with time. That is Vedic culture. Okay. So, for example, when Srila Vamandev, as a small boy, he came in front of Bali Maharaj, what did Bali Maharaj offer him? Bali Maharaj did not give him, you know, any plastic mobile phone, you know, with a Bollywood music in that, you know, Dhoom Machare music. You know. He didn't give him plastic cell phone, neither he gave him any helium balloons to play with. What kind of gift did Bali Maharaj offer to Vamandev? He offered land, which has always a power of increasing in value. He gave gold, again, which has power of increasing in value. He gave clothes, and so on and so forth. He gave all these things. Okay. So, nowadays what happens, the concept of gift giving is completely changed. The moment, nowadays it's not uncommon to find second sale. We all look for, no, second hand sale, anything is going on, distress sale or whatever. Or yesterday some garage sale was going on, you know, in that, what is that, Armstrong Street or somewhere near that. Okay. So nowadays, we have attraction to second hand things like that. Even in my house, I have one tone second hand sofa. You can come and buy, any of you. It is free. So, the value of items keeps on depleting. Okay. So, any laptop or any car, the moment you get out of the showroom, immediately if you want to sell it, then people will tell you, okay, it's already out of the car, outside the showroom, already 30-40% is gone. The moment you bring it outside the showroom. So, that is the power. In fact, one of the devotees brought a BlackBerry for $19. Okay. How many of you want? No? Immediately everybody is attentive. BlackBerry $19? Yeah. Because this BlackBerry had a problem, it went to the whatever, the company, factory, and it was again refurbished. That's why it is costing $19. Otherwise, a BlackBerry costs, I think, what, $800-$900 today? So, the power, so the gifts in Kali Yuga, the value of items in Kali Yuga are always depleting. In fact, the concept of gift itself is completely distorted today. In the Vedic culture, the whole idea of a gift was that, as I said, gift has to increase value. So when you give a gift to someone, it has to increase the value for that person, and in return, we collect blessings of that person. That was the gift. Give value, collect blessings. Give value, collect blessings. That was the culture. So, but today what is happening, that culture has got slightly distorted. For example, birthday. On a birthday, that when suppose it's my birthday, Vedic culture says, in my birthday, I have to give charity. That concept is again reversed today. In birthday, we now receive gifts. For example, you know, when I was a child, I used to wait for my birthday. Why? Because all my friends will give some nice, you know, somebody will bring gun, somebody will bring aeroplane, you know, somebody will bring that, you know, board games or whatever. I used to constantly wait for my birthday and meditate, you know, what my friends will give me, like that. Okay. So, the concept of birthday is now to receive gift. Even the concept of inaugurating something which is new. In the Vedic culture, it was mentioned that if you are inaugurating a new house or a new building or a new event, then they used to light the lamp. It's called Putti Valak. We used to light the lamp and then inaugurate. So even in a birthday, we used to light a lamp for the pleasure of the Lord. So from darkness, we move to light. But now, the distortion of Vedic culture is, from light we move to darkness. Already there is light in candle, and then we blow that candle, and then we move from exactly the opposite way, from light to darkness. It is mentioned that if you blow the candle, if you blow, Agni should never be blown from the mouth. Even when, for example, we have to increase that, then we don't do. It is also always to be done by the hand or a cardboard or something like that. It is said that if you blow Agni, because Agni is a demigod who is serving Krishna, then it is called as Agni Aparad. So you can imagine a 50-year-old man, if he blows 50 candles, it is 50 Agni Aparads he is doing. So what kind of blessings are we anyway getting on our birthday by doing these activities? So the essence of today's class was that if you see culturally, there is degradation, which is very clearly seen in society, and we have got used to doing so many things which are unfriendly to Krishna consciousness. But if we slowly start adjusting to the culture of Varnashrama Dharma and Krishna consciousness, we can create a legacy, so this knowledge which is given by the Lord can be passed on to future generations. So non-violence, truthfulness, honesty, desire for the happiness and welfare of all others, freedom from lust, anger and greed constitute duties for all members of society, and we can fulfill all these duties only when we usher in the culture of Varnashrama Dharma into our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or questions?
In the modern society, or in the world today, for example, if a country decides to go to Varnashrama Dharma and adopt this land-based lifestyle, very simple living, high thinking, but no high technologies, etc., the other countries around it would kind of pounce on it and destroy it.
Right? Yeah.
So how do you envision, because it would weaken its defenses and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah.
So how do you envision one country, for example, going, how do you envision this transition to
Varnashrama? Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada, in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Rajokshaje Ahituki Apratihata Yatma Suprasivati. So it talks about Dharma. Okay. So it is said that the highest occupation or Dharma is one by which men can attain loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and such loving relationship is unmotivated, uninterrupted, for it to completely satisfy the self. So the essence is, dharma can only be established by bringing in the culture of Krishna consciousness. That is why Sri Rupa Goswami also mentioned the word Krishna Anusilanam, which is the culture of Krishna consciousness. Okay. So unless the culture of Krishna consciousness, unless awareness of God consciousness is brought about, unless the Isavashya principle is drilled in into the hearts of men, into the hearts of society, that everything animate or inanimate is owned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there are laws which will operate on you regardless of whether you believe or don't believe in that. For example, I may not believe in the signaling system of Melbourne, but still I will get a ticket if I, cross the green signal. So the question is not whether I believe or not. So the laws will anyway act on you. So unless this culture of Krishna consciousness is brought, then we cannot effect this change. And furthermore, only if the culture of Krishna consciousness is brought, this change can come. It cannot come with any artificial imposition of rules and regulations. Because in this society, unless the consciousness of human beings are changed, we cannot externally impose and expect that any law will be followed, or any prosperity from the grassroots will come. So the consciousness of people has to change. So that is what I understood from reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So that is why, we have the leaders like Indradyumna Swami Maharaj, for example, going from one place to the other virtually non-stop. There is no question of Saturday, Sunday or weekends for such a personality. He goes to each and every corner of this world, and then he is spreading this culture. So unless this culture comes, how is it possible? Then we are as good as, we are just carrying a rule book of mankind. Srila Prabhupada says that Manu Samhita is the rule of mankind. Because Manu Samhita originally came from Krishna, it was not fallible. But man-made laws, Prabhupada says, are always fallible. So because our laws of society are today man-made, so therefore that is not attacking the problem at its root. It's just a temporary patchwork, Prabhupada says, which civilization has made. So that is my understanding.
Mentioned about the Varnasram Dharma, we have certain qualities and the duties or the kind of activities that each Varnas can do. Are there any exceptions?
Are there any exceptions to these duties?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
so
type of activities they can do.
Yeah. So Srila Prabhupada says, and in the Bhagavatam also it is mentioned, I don't know the verse, but any of you know the verse, please feel free to quote it. It is said that a person who has taken to serving Lord Krishna full time, 100% dedication to serving Krishna, for such a person, then the rules of Varnashrama Dharma don't apply. But that's only if we have dedicated our lives and centering everything around serving Krishna. Because it's not that Varnashrama Dharma doesn't apply for such persons. Why it is said it does not apply? Because by serving Krishna, you will automatically be following Varnashrama Dharma. So you don't have to put an extrinsic effort to establish a social order which is outside of Krishna consciousness, like that. So Prabhupada called that culture as Daivi Varnashrama. If you are anyway following Krishna consciousness, you are already following Daivi Varnashrama. So you don't need an extrinsic, separate Varnashrama Dharma or a social structure outside of that. Right? Because what do? As devotees, we do the job of Brahmana. As Grihasthas, let's take you and me for example. As Grihasthas, we are Brahmanas in the sense that we follow the four regulative principles, we chant 16 rounds, we do deity worship at home, we give charity to the temple. So we are doing the job of a Brahmana. As Kshatriya, we are doing administration also. Right? We have to go to the job. Right? And we have to take care, we have to administer our family needs. Right? So in that sense, you know, we do administration job. As Vaishyas also, we are contributing to, you know, society in that way. Right? As we are doing preaching, which is again the duty of a Brahmana. We are doing Bhakti Varsha programs or whatever. So we spend time like that. Right? And regarding our office work, we do our VC++ coding or whatever. That is Shudra job. Okay, we are doing that also. Right? Project management. Yeah. So we are anyway doing all those things. But at the end of the day, the consciousness knows very clearly that all this what we are doing is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to develop love for Krishna and to remove the shackles of the bondage to matter. And then take shelter of Krishna. So, by taking to the Krishna consciousness, automatically we come under the gamut of a particular culture, which Rupa Goswami called as Krishna Anusilana. So, we don't have to separately do anything as long as we are doing that. But the caveat is that just because we have become devotees, for example, we cannot, you know, kick the tenets of Varnashrama Dharma. We cannot say that, you know, I don't have to buy a tram ticket because I am going for book distribution in Swanson Street. No. We cannot misuse the principles of Varnashrama Dharma like that. So that's why it is mentioned that truthfulness and honesty are, forget about, you know, Varnashrama Dharma. They are the basic qualities, you know, come to the human platform. So in that sense, you know, but as devotees we will not do that basically. Because we know that when I don't punch that, you know, ticket in the tram, Krishna has already watched. You know, the tram inspector might not have watched, you know, in that sense. So it's automatically coming to a devotee. नत्रा श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय जय निताय गौर के महा